The Word of God is very precious, and I'm sure no one will object to me taking a third reading tonight, but it is the passage on which I wish to speak. It's found in Matthew 25 from verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Now, one day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this world. He said himself in John chapter 14, I will come again. And his apostles confirmed that in their writings. Paul writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. We're told in the scriptures that he will come again or return to this earth in the same manner in which he went. That is what the angel said to the disciples on the Mount of the Ascension. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye did see him go. So how did he go? Because surely that is the way he will return. Well, he went from the Ascension Mountain in person. It was a personal ascent. His human nature was taken up as man. He left his disciples. In the same manner, he shall come again. Which means that he will come personally. The second coming is not a spiritual experience, essentially, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Son of God, appearing again and coming to this world. He left the mountain, and as he went up into heaven, we read in Acts 1 that a cloud received him out of their sight. In like manner, he shall come again. And so the scripture says, he will come in the clouds of heaven, riding upon them as a king would ride upon a royal chariot. He shall come in a glorious manner, and with flashes of glory. The Saviour said himself that on that future day, men shall see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. And the sign would be from one end of heaven to the other. The flash of his glory, the display of his majesty, like light lightning up one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. Oh, how gloriously he shall come again, even as they saw him go. In like manner, the angel said, he shall come again visibly. They saw him go until the cloud received him out of their sight. On that auspicious day to come, men shall see him return. It will be a visible appearance. And of course, as then, so now, he will be attended with angels. He shall come in the glory of his Father, the Gospels tell us, with all his holy angels. In like manner as ye did see him go, what a day awaits us then, and what a sight will be afforded us then. When we look at the rest of the New Testament for detail, we are told that he will appear descending in fire. 2 Thessalonians 1. He will come, Paul says, in flaming fire. And what does that signify? Holiness, which is ever represented as flame of burning, but holiness manifested in judgment. And at his nearer approach to this world, we are further informed that his voice shall be heard. And such a voice as will reach men wherever they are to be found. In fact, that voice will reach the dead in the caverns beneath our feet. And those that are dead shall come forth from their graves. The dead shall rise and shall rise at his call. It is then that believers departed will be gathered unto him and reunited with their souls. And then, believing living will be caught up together with them to meet Christ in the air. Even the ungodly shall be raised, contrary to their expectation, doubtless contrary to their desire, but they shall be raised, so that they may stand before the Son of God. In all the great convulsions of that day, men may wish to flee from him. And as the book of Revelation describes, men may seek to hide from him. But even though they conceal themselves in the caves and mountains and the caverns of the earth, they cannot escape the Lord Jesus Christ. But all shall be gathered. Angels will gather them from the four winds and assemble them before the Son of God. What an assembly that will be. I saw the dead, says John, who had vision of it. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. On that day, the throne will be taken by the Son of God. For the Father has assigned all judgment unto him. And he will judge the world by that man whom he has appointed, Jesus Christ. And Christ himself, God in Christ, God mediately in the person of his Son, will preside over the judgment. Before him will be every man and woman who ever lived. And they shall be judged by God's unerring rule of righteousness and of justice. Their thoughts will be tried, their words will be assessed, their deeds will be examined. And when the trial has reached its conclusion, sentence will be passed, absolution on the one hand, or condemnation on the other. What the judgment will find out and discover is how men have lived, and that will be the evidence of how men are in heart. The righteous who have lived a life of devotion and sacrifice, a life of kindness and mercy, a life of love, these will be regarded as the evidences of a new heart of saving faith, and they will be absolved. And the wicked, when their works are revealed, their selfish works, their worldly works, their devilish works, all these will be telltale signs of what they are, unchanged from nature, unbelieving in heart. And the sentence of condemnation will go against them, and these sentences, absolution and condemnation, will not only be pronounced by the judge, but will be executed. And according to this passage from the lips of Christ in Matthew 25, two words will be spoken. And these words have been with me all week, and I want to consider them tonight. The first is in verse 34. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, to the believers, come, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. The other word is found in verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, the unbelievers, depart. Depart from me, he cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, my friends, I don't wish to assume a dramatic tone tonight, but I am compelled to say that one day one of those words is going to be spoken to each of us. The Lord will either say, come, inherit the kingdom, or he will say, depart into everlasting fire. What do you think will he say to you? Let us take them for further consideration. Verse 34. Then shall he say, come. Before I go any further, let me observe that this word is spoken before the other. Come to the Lord's people is a word spoken before depart to the unbelievers. And I believe there are several reasons for that. One is that the Lord would rather bless than curse. His whole nature inclines him not only to be good, but to do good. Judgment is his strange work. He delighteth in mercy, and therefore he puts first the better word by far. Come. A second reason for the order is this, that he is inclined towards those addressed with that word. He loves his people, loves them dearly, and in that love he would bless them and bless them richly. So he attends to the business, first of all, that is nearest his heart. And thirdly, he is mindful of his people as he takes this order. Had he begun with the second most terrible word, depart, this would have terrified the faithful and would have brought upon them great trembling. He would spare them that. And so he addresses them first and assures them of his goodwill and his favor towards them. The order is significant too, because he would not wish them to wait for the blessing. Such is his love for them. He wants them to enjoy what he has in store for them. And finally, he intends for the unbelievers the awful experience of seeing honor conferred upon his people, the honor which could have been theirs, the glory which they forfeited by unbelief. And the Lord would show the ungodly what they have lost before he will show them what they have gained. Well, we come to this word, come. What struck me immediately is that it is a good gospel word, isn't it? In the gospel of our salvation, the leading word is come. And in his great kindness, Jesus has said to sinners of mankind, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's because of the gospel and their reception of it that on this great day he says, come again. The same tone, the same intent, to bring them into blessing. The first time it was for the blessing of life, the second time it is for the blessing of eternity. And it's through the gospel that they now have hope. Now, friends, further to that is that this word is a kind word, and it's a tender word. Come. It is an awe-inspiring day, you understand. The scene which is before God's people, before all men on that day, is alarming and disturbing, to say the least. But what a beautiful word this is. Come. As if the Lord is saying, you have no cause for anxious thought. You have no cause for heart fear. I am here for you. And you will find refuge in me. Come, he says, because he wants his people to be beside him. He wants them to know his company and the solace that that affords. He's not going anywhere. He's there on this great day for them, and they have access to him, and in him they will find all their glory. Come. It's as if Christ means by that word, I am the one who takes responsibility for your safety. And I am the one who is taking responsibility for your happiness. Don't look anywhere else. Don't trust any other person. Come. I will secure you. I will answer your prayers. I will fulfill your hopes. I will give you eternal life. In me is your hope. Come, he says. And the he who speaks is the Lord from heaven, the heir of all things, to whom the everlasting kingdom belongs. And he says, come, as if to say, it's all mine, but I will share it with you. Come with me. And so it is that Christ will share that kingdom. And that is why believers are called joint heirs with Christ, and heirs of God, and heirs of the kingdom which he has provided for us. Perhaps the word suggests a backward look. Where have you been? Many of these dear ones have spent their lives in trouble, tried, almost beyond their strength, knowing great sadness. Yes, they've come out of great tribulation. But what a word is this? Come. Wherever you have been, whatever you have experienced in the way of darkness or hardship or disappointment, come. I lead you to a world where these things are not known, to a land, as the poet says, where the roses never fade. Come with me, because I have something to show you and something to give you. I give unto you the glory of a kingdom which shall never end. And I am the door to that. And the access to that kingdom, there's no coming into the blessing of the eternal world except through me. I unlatch the gate. I conduct you in. It is my inheritance, and I give it to whomsoever I will. Come. In other words, he remains, as in these gospel days, the way. No man cometh except by him. And where is he leading us with this word, come? Into the heavenly world? Certainly. But what will make that heaven real heaven? His presence. That's why he says, come. To enter that world without Christ diminishes the glory and removes all its beauty. Heaven in essence is to be in the company of Jesus. As he said to his disciples the betrayal night, that where I am, there ye may be also. Earlier he had said to his disciples, wheresoever I am, there shall my servant be. And he prayed to his Father, I will that they be with me where I am. With me first, the best of company, where I am, the most glorious possession. Come. The exciting thing about the word, I think, is that there is no telling where exactly he will lead them. Into heaven, to eternal rest and peace, to unchanging happiness and blessedness, to the company of angels, to all the friendship of the blessed, to the palace of the King. We don't know what awaits us there. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And on that day we shall walk in comparative ignorance into the light of the kingdom of heaven. And then shall we see what we could not imagine. And then shall we feel what we have never known. He will lead us there. Come, he says. One final thought on this. We shall never be lost. The believer whose trust is in the Lord is preserved and maintained by a sovereign king whose name is Jesus Christ. We're in his care, we're in his keeping, and no one shall pluck us out of his hand. Come. You're safe with me, and I will save you forevermore. I will bless you according to all the promises of God. I will support you. After 1,000 years, I'll be there to keep you, and 10,000 years, I will be at your side to defend you. You'll never suffer loss. You're with me. And at my side, under my arm, you are as safe as heaven itself. Come. Is that what he will say to you? Have you heard the gospel and believed it? Is Christ your personal Savior? Do you know him as such? Is he yours, and are you his? On that day, is that the word you will hear? Come. It would be tempting to look at what follows. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Oh, they have been blessed, these people. They have been blessed with God's everlasting kindness. They've been blessed with the gift of his Son and the redemption he has secured. They've been blessed because they've been called by grace through the gospel effectively so as to answer that call and come to Christ. Ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit it, because there's no labor for it. There's no work to be performed in order to purchase it. Like an inheritance, it is free, and it is freely bestowed. Inherit the kingdom. Oh, it's no small legacy, is it? No unworthy gift. The heirs have the kingdom. The kingdom of the blessed forevermore. A kingdom which has been prepared for them so as to be conducive to their happiness, to their peace, to their joy, to their satisfaction, to their praise. just right for you. As if Christ says, I have ensured that everything you need, everything for which you have prayed, everything which I have mentioned, everything that God has conceived is there for you. And in that kingdom you shall never lack. And you shall never again feel need. Come. If you have come to Christ in a gospel way, you will come to Christ on that day in the most blessed way of all. First you come to trust Him, then you come to be forever with the Lord. Come. The other word is found in verse 41. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, depart. In this particular context, there is no more solemn expression to be found in the whole of the Bible. Christ looks upon these people who have rejected him in the gospel, who have spurned his overtures of mercy, who've denied his rights to their hearts, and now comes settlement. Depart. In that one word, solemn as it is, I think there is a whole world of misery. Depart from me. Because what it means is farewell to Christ. The one who could save, the one who could pardon and relieve, the one who could rescue and deliver, the one who could answer and enrich. It's over. Depart. And thus they are sent away by the only one who could have given them hope and rest. He will be with the blessed, the believers in that great assembly. You'll have to depart from them too, separated now from the people of God, so that you can be in a congregation like this, sitting in the same pew with true believers. But on that day, he will separate the precious from the vile. On that day, he will divide asunder those that have been together before. The believer shall hear, come, the unbeliever, depart. And how awful that is. Depart from what? From Christ, from his people, yes, but from all the good things Christ would have granted. I have in my hands to make rich. I have in my hands to give eternal prosperity. I have in my hands the right to bestow upon you a kingdom more magnificent than any kingdom of man, to be yours forever. But I say to you, depart. It is an awful thing. One awful word. I think of Christ, from whom came overtures of grace and mercy, who appealed to sinners when he was here on earth and proffered to them forgiveness and peace. Now, no longer to hear these things. Depart into the region of silence where you will never again hear my voice in the gospel, where you will never again hear of the offer of mercy. Depart from me into the silence of a lost eternity. Depart. Where are they going, you say? One Bible answer would be this: they are going to their own place, a place which has been reserved for the impenitent and the unbelieving. That's where they're going. What's the nature of this place? It's a place of darkness, impenetrable blackness. A place that suggests utter despair. Depart thither. It's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and where torment abides and remains unrelieved. Depart. And I can hear someone say, "What in this state, Lord? I am a sinner. Depart as a sinner." And you must answer for what you have done. Because you spurned the gospel by which you could have been forgiven, you depart with your sins still upon you. You go into eternity with a multitude of sins which must be answered for, which must be paid for, the enormity of which will take you an eternity to settle. Depart. I think the most terrible thing about this word is that nothing else is said apart from the everlasting fire awaiting them, prepared for the devil and his angels. But he doesn't mitigate it in any way. He doesn't qualify it in any way. He doesn't introduce any shaft of hope. The unconverted shall depart, and nothing further is said. Because nothing further can be said. It is departure into a lost and awful eternity. Depart from mercy. Depart from grace. Depart from the only one who could have saved your soul. Depart. When the gospel came to me, came to you, you said, "I've had enough of this. I'll not have this man reign over me." You turned away from me. Now I tell you, I've had enough of you. You turn away from me. And there's no way back. Depart, ye cursed. condemned of God for your sin. Depart into everlasting fire, the wrath of God, the anger of God in all its fury, prepared for the devil and his angels, for whom there's no termination of punishment, for whom there is no hope of redemption. Depart into the place where they are, for that you're into. If I am honest, my friends, I can scarce bear the thought that there could be some who listen to me week after week, still unconverted, who shall hear this word spoken by the judge at the last day. Depart. I have done what I could do as a minister. I have preached Christ. I have besought you to turn to him. I have held him out to you as your only hope. I have required of you faith in his name. I have pleaded with you to trust him. And if, when my ministry is over, and life is over for you, and you have never believed, that is what he will say. Depart. It could have been come. Oh, foolish sinner, it could have been come that your unbelief made it depart. Upon faith and unbelief suspends your destiny. Turn to him and trust him, and be with him forever. Turn from him and deny him, and be without him forever. Let us pray.